Hi, I'm Zibby Owens, and I'm the creator and host of Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. During the quarantine, I launched an Instagram live show called ZIGTV. This is one of my 150-plus interviews that I did during that time. Last guest, January, Lavoie, who is an audiobook narrator and narrated the audiobook for Nora Roberts' new book called Hideaway. It says waiting for her. So this one, oh, there we go. Connecting. Good. Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. It's so funny to see your face having listened to your voice, you know? have like a perfect, you have like that perfect audiobook voice and yet it just like comes right out. And anyway, amazing.
I always tell a story that like when I'm at parties or whatever and I feel like I sound like my normal self until someone asks me, you know, oh, I heard you narrate audiobooks for a living. And I'm like, oh, really? Yes, I do. Like my voice completely changes when people start making me think about my work as a narrator. So
how did you fall into that? Or I shouldn't say fall. Maybe that was your plan all along. But how did end up doing that?
I very much fell into it. I went to graduate school for acting and moved back to New York and started acting and was doing a lot of theater and, you know, little TV stuff. I got my Law and Order in there and, you know, nice. That kind of thing. And I did an off-Broadway show at the Signature Theater, an August Wilson play. And there were a couple guys in it who were with the same voiceover agent with Innovative Artists. And so when they came to see the show, I met them afterwards and just actually kind of struck up a friendship or, you know, had a really fun night at the bar with one of the agents. I didn't have a VO demo. I didn't have a commercial agent. It was not something I was thinking about at all. And her name is Sherry Hoffman. She's the world's greatest agent. I love her. I've been with her now for almost 15 years. And, you know, she was like, oh yeah, come on in. Let's have a meeting, whatever. And the first audition they sent me out on, I booked, which was for a commercial. And so I did a lot of commercial voiceover for a few years, promos. And I always tell people like when Halle Berry was doing the Revlon commercials, it was like Halle's face and it was me talking like that kind
Ooh.
Of thing, like that for a while. And then a couple of years into that, I got my first audiobook audition. I had never listened to an audiobook since I was a little kid. I didn't really know that it was a job you could have. And so I've always loved books. I always got in trouble for staying up too late with a flashlight under the covers. So I was like, sure, if I can read books for money, that sounds great. And that's how it started.
Wow. I mean, now I'm like, why am I doing this? I should like try, like everybody should be an audiobook narrator. How fun would that be?
It's like the world's coolest job. Yeah.
So do you get to pick your projects? Like how did you end up on Nora Roberts' book?
So the Nora folks came to me a few years ago. And I will be completely honest with you. I had never read a Nora Roberts book. I was not a Nora Roberts fan. And I am now a massive Nora Roberts fan. When the books come around every year, I think she's a brilliant, brilliant writer. Here's the thing about Nora's books. Every one of them is set somewhere. It's, you know, usually the ones I do are somewhere in the United States. And I find myself on Zillow looking at houses in wherever the place is where her book is set because she sells these images and these scents and, you know, these views and vistas and country roads and whatever. And it's like, oh, I really want to live there. I'm like, why do I want to suddenly live in North Carolina? Because I've been reading this book that's just so beautiful. She's an incredible writer. Her stories are fabulous. They're always topical. And also, you know, it's interesting listening to you talk about with the other authors you had on. Her books tend to start with like a deep trauma. And they're very, you know, I did one, Shelter in Place a couple years ago, which started with a mass shooting and the characters had to live through that, the repercussions of that. Last year I did Undercurrents, which was dealt with a family that terrible child abuse and how that sort of, you know, carries through everyone's life. And so I think she's very honest and respectful of her readers. And I dig it. And I think it's especially at a time now when we're all very traumatized by a lot of things that are happening, whether it's the pandemic or, you know, these horrible racial incidents that are happening all over our country. We have all these wounds. And I think that escaping into a romance novel or any kind of book of your choosing is a very powerful and healing thing. So I'm just psyched to be a part of it.
That's well said. So you said you didn't used to be a Nora Roberts fan. What did you used to like to read? And what are some of your go-to
you know, books and authors still like on your nightstand? What's your jam?
I have really diverse tastes, and then they've only become more diverse since I become a narrator, because I do anywhere from like 40 to 50 titles a year.
Wow.
Which means that I'm reading them twice, so because I read them once by myself and then I read them out loud into a microphone in the booth. So
it's a good thing you like to read.
Yeah. And I also somehow managed to get like between 12 and 20 books in just like for pleasure. I mean, I read all the time. But I, you know, as a kid, I sort of loved everything from like Stephen King to The Lord of the Rings. I liked horror, I liked fantasy. And then as I got older, I've really just become very passionate about female authors and, you know, everyone from Zadie Smith to Cheryl Strayed. I think that there's a powerful way in which women can connect to each other's stories that have not necessarily been told out loud throughout history. And that by writing them down, by telling our stories, reading our stories and sharing our stories, we become like, we can do the work to fill in the blanks and to connect to each other and our stories in ways that the world has not always allowed us to do. So
you need to like take this on the road. This is like a great reading advocacy or something. I just love watching you talk about it. This is fantastic.
I've actually gotten to do a lot of library advocacy in my work as a narrator, Penguin Random House and other Macmillan and a lot of different publishers bring me to events, whether it's BookCon or the American Library Association. And so I get to work with librarians and teachers, and it's been really, really cool as a person who's just genuinely passionate about a thing to then have a job that requires me to be able to, you know, jam on about it with other people. So it's pretty cool.
Wow. That's great. Well, how great. It sounds like you found your true calling. It's great. Like, do you ever miss the acting side of things, or do you do any of it?
I do. I still do a lot of stage work. And I actually took a job last year as a professor at Emory University. So I teach theater to undergraduates now as well. So I'm here in Atlanta. I do a lot of stage work here. I've got hopefully I've got a gig coming up in the spring on stage here and in DC. So it's also the flexibility of this job and being able to do all the other things that I do, which is really, really cool. But I think it's made me a better actor. And I've had other friends, actor friends, who've come and seen me perform over the years. And they say, you know, like, you just have this, your storytelling is so enriched by what you do. You know, when you have to sit in front of a microphone and we can't move, this is the thing that a lot of people don't realize, because people are used to seeing animation voices in the booth. You know, when you're watching somebody do a Pixar thing or whatever, we can't move. We can't make a sound. We can't make a rustle. You have to wear soft clothes and you have to be careful about how you breathe, because there's a very clean sound to an audiobook. So we are sitting perfectly still and we're this close to the microphone and we're telling you the story. And it makes you an incredibly focused storyteller. I always say that like my model for what I'm doing is that I'm sitting in the backseat of a car on a long road trip and it's night and I'm telling the story to the person next to me in the backseat, but I don't want the people in the front to hear it. That's what recording an audiobook is like.
And that's why it feels so intimate to listen to an audiobook. Yeah. Now that the people are reading them, now that we know what you're doing. Because it's true, there's that total intimacy, I feel like, when it's in your ear and you're just, now that I know, you're like leaning forward. And
that's the hope. We want it to feel like we did it just for you.
So. Oh, wow. Do you end up listening to audiobooks yourself, or are you still more of a hardcore book reader?
It's really funny. The thing that makes me good at audiobooks is that I'm a visual learner. So when I see it on the page, I can get it out my mouth in a sort of rapid fire kind of way. I'm actually not much of an oral learner, although I've listened to a ton of podcasts. But for books, I'm still very, very visual. I do listen to some and I love some. Like, I think that Trevor Noah's audiobook is maybe one of the greatest books ever because of who he is and the story he tells, and it's so personal. So I tend to listen to audiobooks when they're told by actually R.R. Thomas, who you had on your show recently.
Yeah.
His audiobook is fabulous. And he's a moth guy too.
I was going to say that to Catherine, and then I was like, I don't want to make a mistake in case I'm wrong, but I was so sure he was. So
absolutely. Yeah. I think he's the Philly host.
Yes.
So I like listening to people tell their own stories in audiobooks. That's pretty much like my favorite way to do it. But I'm really glad that people like to listen to me tell other people's stories in audiobooks.
You know, this whole like conversation today from the first guest to you is just like reinforcing how much people just thrive hearing stories. Either from their mouth directly, from a medium, which is what you're, you know, intermediary source, like in every way, we just crave that. We need that. As humans, we just need the stories. And there are all these innovative ways to deliver them. But at the end of the day, it's really just, we all want to be told a story. And that's it.
It's absolutely essential. I mean, right, this is the word we all use now for everything, essential this, essential that. And it's like, absolutely elemental and essential to humanity to be able to share our stories. So it's pretty cool.
Wow. It's like, we might as well skip the rest. Like, I'm not even going to go to like, I'm not going to even make small talk anymore. I'm just going to be like, here's my story. Here, you want to hear this? Here's my greatest failure.
Yeah, really. It's very powerful stuff. Like, get over our fear of sounding dumb. Like, what would we be doing if we didn't care about how it came off? We'd just be telling our deepest secrets all the time.
Well, to be honest, I feel like there's just so much artifice. There's so much that gets in the way of people sharing. People are so much more willing to share on the page than they are with the person next to them. But if you write it down and hand it to them and they read it, that's somehow okay. But you would never like tell them like, oh, hey, listen to what happened when I was four. I don't know. It's really interesting. Anyway.
There's a protective layer, I think. And I think that's also why, like, you know, I've read audiobooks for people that, you know, it feels very intimate. You know, you can tell when you're telling someone's story that they wrote it in another way, but you know, it's being able to share that experience is, I just think it's awesome.
It is awesome. Oh, well, thank you. I'm so glad we connected. This has been such a joy. And now in the back of my head, I feel like next time I need to recruit somebody to like get on a soapbox and sell the idea of reading and books and whatever. Like, you are my go-to person. So I'm so glad I met you.
Please reach out. I'm happy to do it anytime, anywhere.
Okay. All right. Bye, January. Have a great day. Yeah. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you. Stay safe.
You too.
Thanks for listening to one of my ZIGTV episodes, which I launched with Authors Live during the quarantine. For more author interviews, you can listen to my podcast, Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books.